Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. And I get the most coveted spot. I think I said this last year. It's the spot where it comes right before dinner time. So everyone's thoughts are purely on the Word of God and spiritual things. And nobody's thinking about that they've been sitting here for an hour and 41 minutes and anything like that. But Jeremiah chapter number 9, we're just going to read two verses starting in verse number 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, for meeting with us tonight. And Lord, just for the messages we've already heard in song, the messages we've heard preached already. Lord, just thank you for how you've woven everything together tonight. And Father, I pray now as we once again turn our heart and our attention to your word, that you would just give us exactly what we need. God, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit and just help me to say only those things that needs to be said. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to have hearing ears just ready to apply to how you speak to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. With the close of each year comes reflection. At the end of every year, many people around our country, maybe you individually, may take some time and kind of reflect on the past year, on maybe some of the accomplishments that you had or some of the highlights of the year. And that's certainly something that most people in our world do. And even this time of year, you could do something as simple as turn on the television and watch maybe the top plays or the top games of 2015. Even on the news this morning, I saw them showing the top commercials of 2015, kind of the best of. Or you could, if you wanted to, you could read about maybe the best movies of 2015 or the best songs that some would say were released in the last year. And, of course, top news stories of the year, maybe important people that have died within 2015 or milestones that were reached. All those things are out there. You can even on social media, you can see your year in review, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and those type of things there, kind of reviewing your year and looking at it. You know, it's everywhere, and it seems to touch every genre from movies to sports, news, music. And many will measure the success of their year by what they accomplished personally. Now, some of those things are tangible things. Maybe they look at maybe having some kind of special purchase they made, a large purchase that year, or they got that boat they were finally saving for, or they were able to enlarge the home they lived in, or they made more money, or maybe they are happier with their physical appearance than they were a year before. Now, other things are intangible, like maybe someone increased in their knowledge, or they gained and learned a certain skill or trade, or maybe they reached a level of spirituality or some kind of inner peace. But what about the Christian? What do we measure our year by? And what accomplishment in 2015 should we be most proud of? And the Bible reveals this here and talks about this and says, talks about glorying over and over again. And that's the idea of something to be proud of. And I'm not talking in kind of a negative, prideful sense, but there, you can take pride in some things that are positive. And that's certainly what this is speaking of here. So in warning of their coming judgment, Jeremiah here is being used by God to reveal what the people of Israel were really glorying in, what it was they took the most pride in, what they were most proud of. And although we're not Israel, I'll tell you that we can still learn something from this principle listed within the Scripture because we belong to God as well. Now, as we look at this in verse 23 and 24, just two simple verses in this passage is something that God kind of spoke to my heart and brought to my heart a couple months ago just through casual reading and study of the Scripture. And so kind of earmarked this and kind of thought about it approaching this time where I knew we would probably be asked to preach on watch night. And God kind of spoke to my heart about this. And it says in verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." This is coming from God. This is something firm. This is something that's you can take it to the bank and count on. He says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory and His wisdom. If I could tell you this, that God basically gives us in this verse some things that we don't need to glory in, some things that we don't need necessarily to take extreme pride in, so to say. And He says this, first of all, that let not this wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, there are many in this world that are wise by the world's standards, and they're not afraid to let you know about it. Okay, they're quite proud of that sense and that fact. I can even think of just last Sunday going to the retirement home and speaking to the assisted living people there, and I mentioned something about pro-life and kind of touched that on just a second and mentioned it in relation to the birth of Christ, and I'm glad that Mary made herself willing and available for God to allow her to carry the child of God, and just mentioned something briefly in passing of pro-life, and a lady spoke up and said, "You're stepping on some toes." And I thought that was odd just to hear in that kind of a setting in a 55 and over crowd. And then after the service was over, she came up to me and she says, "You know, you just don't need to be so political in your preaching. And I'm pro-choice." And then she walked out and kind of marched out of there. And then the ladies that were left, they were all telling me that she was just before then bragging about how educated she was and all these things that she had learned. And certainly the Bible is true when it says with increased knowledge and wisdom that those type of things puff up. And they of course, increase the pride that goes along with it. Now, I don't want you to come out of here and walk out of this thing saying, especially you kids and teenagers, that Brother Aaron's against getting wisdom or getting understanding or getting knowledge, okay? Some I've just turned it off right there. Right? I don't have to go to school anymore. Winter break is just going to continue endlessly. That's not what I'm saying at all. There's nothing wrong with education or getting degrees, but can I tell you this? That's not what we are to glory in. When you look back at 2015, quite possibly could be someone even within this room says, "Hey, I completed some kind of degree, or I reached some kind of a level of knowledge, or I learned a certain skill, or I learned something, a trade within this last year," and that's great. But I'll tell you this, that the world defines wisdom differently than God defines it. And I'm not gonna glory in the fact that I've increased in the world's wisdom versus whether or not I've increased in the wisdom of God. And what happens often with the world's wisdom, it begins to crowd God out of the equation as people increase in the world's wisdom. In fact, in Romans 1:22, it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." So as the world will increase in their own wisdom, we see that it crowds God out of the equation. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." You know why they're vain? Because in the end, it's not going to matter. Because in the end, that degree, they're not going to take with them. In the end, all that knowledge that they've piled up and they've taken their pride in, God says, "You know what, that has amounted to nothing but foolishness." And as I've said, there's nothing wrong with gaining wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and non-spiritual matters as long as it doesn't contradict God and His Word. But that's not what we should take the most glory in. He goes on and says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." And certainly this would be speaking mostly about the military might. Perhaps Israel at this time was sitting back and thinking, "Yeah, judgment's coming. Yeah, right. Have you seen how many people we have in our army? Have you seen how many people we have that are numbered and willing to fight?" And there's no doubt that they're taking some glory in that. But it could be applied to any kind of might or strength. You know, you think about this, there are no doubt many people within this last year all over the world that have met some kind of physical goal. That maybe they dropped a certain amount of weight that they wanted to lose, or maybe they have reached their max lifting weight in some area and they're quite proud of that, or perhaps they've even reached their goal time in a marathon or something of the sort, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what God is revealing here, that's not what I'm going to glory in. When I stand before God, that's not what I want to be most proud of. When I reflect upon my year, that's not what I want to be most proud of. These are great accomplishments, but it's not what I'm going to take glory in. And He even goes on and says that the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now many will measure the success of this past year based upon what they accumulated financially. People are going to open their financial portfolio, or maybe they're going to look at their savings account, or maybe they're going to look at their investments, they're going to see the increase and the gain that's happened there, and they're going to sit back and they're going to cross their arms and put a big smile on their face and think, "What a successful year I had." But can I tell you this? You could still have a successful year if you lost all your investments, because our success in the eyes of God is not measured in our finances. He says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's not what we're to take pride in. That's not what we're to put our heart in. You know, that's what businesses do. They look at the end of the year, and they look at the bottom line. They look at the profit. They look at whether they're in the red or in the black, and that's how they measure the success of the year. But whether it be investments or raises or bonuses or job changes, promotions or possessions, there's nothing wrong with these things as long as they were gained righteously, but that's not what matters most. And why not glory in these things? You say, well, Brother Aaron, why can I not glory in these things? The problem is we cannot glory in these things because these things are temporal. These things will not last forever. This wisdom, this riches, this things that have been gained here, the might, that thing is not going to last forever. That can't be taken with us into the afterlife. That will be nothing as we stand before God. It has no spiritual value. And I want you to understand as we come across this, and I'm not saying these things are bad, but I want you to know that he reveals in the next verse, verse 24, what we should glory in. So all these things are supposed to be paling in comparison to this in verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Man, when I read that, I'll tell you what, it's like God hit a 2x4 right across my heart and then smacked it again across the top of my head. He says, if you're going to glory in something, if you're going to take pride in something, take pride in this fact that you know and understand me. That you know and understand me. Understanding God. You know, to understand is to acknowledge or to admit or to confess. And he goes on and says, he says that in verse 24, he says, understandeth and knoweth me that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. To understand that he is the Lord. As Brother Rob even mentioned it, he's the shepherd. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of our lives. He sits on the throne, or should sit on the throne of our lives. And the Bible says this, that God says the person that should glory or take some pride in is one that knows this and understands this, that I am the Lord of their life. That's something to take glory of in 2015. To look back and say, you know what, I can say this, that within the last year that I have allowed God more so than any year before to be the Lord of my life. And I can glory in that. Not because of me, but because of my God. He's the Lord, he's the ruler, he's the master of our lives. And he goes on and says, not only that he understandeth, but that he knoweth me. Can I tell you tonight, it's not enough to know of God, we must know God. And there's a difference. I know of Andrew Luck. I've even met Andrew Luck. We took Scott for his bachelor party, and it was Andy and Buddy and Scott and I. We went up to the Colts training camp, and I told him, I said, this is the last day of training camp. There's no way Andrew Luck doesn't come across the field and sign autographs. And so people were leaving. He's doing some interview, and I said, he's going to come, guys. I promise he's going to come. And we're like a bunch of little fangirls there just waiting for Andrew Luck to come. And sure enough, he comes trotting across the field. We line up against the fence, pushing little kids out of the way, making sure we get there. And we reach it out for him to sign our things, and he signs my hat. And Buddy hollers out. He's like, hey, Andrew, sign something for my buddy. He's getting ready to get married. So Andrew grabs the football, and he writes, congrats, and Andrew Luck, and hands it back. The problem is the football didn't even belong to Scott. It was just some random guy. But Scott got his picture with the football, so we can prove that that actually happened. But it wasn't his football. But, you know, I've met Andrew Luck, and I know some things about him. I know where he went. I know his dad's name, things like that. But I don't know him personally. You know what's sad? That many times I think Christians find themselves knowing a lot about God, but they don't know him personally. And God says, you want to glory in something, glory in this. You want to look back in 2015 and have some pride of something, it should be this, that you know me. Can you say that within 2015, over the last year, that you know God better, you know more about God than you did when the year started? He goes on and talks about who God is. He's a God of loving kindness, and he's a God of judgment and righteousness. Those things aren't to be excluded. Can't exclude the judgment of God for the love of God. Those things go together. And that would be another message in and of itself. But acknowledging him as Lord and knowing him is something to take pride in. So, 2015, what was your greatest accomplishment? Was it wisdom? Was it might? Was it riches? Or was it growth in your relationship with God? You see, the thing about this, the thing about might, the thing about riches, the thing about wisdom, all those can be taken away like that. My wisdom could be gone tomorrow. I could have a car accident on the way home, brain damage, and most of the wisdom I've accomplished could be gone tomorrow. You guys know as you age, and I'll learn this eventually as I age, but the might that you once had and you once experienced, it goes away. It does. Riches, I don't think I have to say anything about that. We know riches go away. Those things don't last forever. They can be gone like this, be taken away at a moment's notice. But you know what can never be taken away from you? Your relationship with God. And that's why it says you can glory in one thing, and one thing you can glory in is this, that you know and you understand me. All those things can be taken away, but your relationship with God, no one can ever take away from you. So what about it? 2015, what have you accomplished for God? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. And Father, as we close tonight, Father, I pray that we would just choose to, going forward, Father, understand and know you, to have a better relationship with you, to have a better understanding of you, to, Lord, glory in that, in our increased relationship with you, not in riches or in might or, Lord, in anything else, but, Father, I pray that we would glory in the fact that we know you more and we understand you more than ever before. Father, I pray now as we continue the invitation that you would just help us respond to how you speak to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship you tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray.